You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
You know what I'm craving? A little perspective. That's it. I'd like some fresh, clear, well-seasoned perspective. Can you suggest a good wine to go with that?
With, what, sir?
Perspective. Fresh out, I take it.
I am,
Very well. Since you're all out of perspective and no one else seems to have it in this bloody town, I'll make you a deal. You provide the food, I'll provide the perspective. Which would go nicely with a bottle of Cheval Blanc.
Good evening and welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On tonight's Perspectives, we're exploring interconnectivity, the acceptance of others, forward thinking, and the upcoming black tie dinner. You know, interconnectivity refers to the state or the quality of being connected together. The concept is widely used in various fields such as biology, network theory, and ecology. It can be further elaborated as all these parts of a system which interact with one another and can be analyzed not alone but as together. And I know that sounds very scientific, but it's true. I mean, why do you suppose we can't all get along and embrace others' differences? You know, whether you're white, black, brown, or whatever your color, whatever your race, whatever your creed, and whatever your sexual orientation. You know, we're all different except for one thing. We all are love. We can demonstrate love, we can love, and we can be loved. You know, I've spoken at events of various causes and charities, and I've seen how amazing things become when people actually come together instead of divide. You know, I believe that therefore, you know the world is a beautiful place, and I know that we co-create beauty found within it. Good evening, Bill. How are you doing?
I am doing wonderful, Ashley. How about you?
I'm doing lovely this good. Sunday evening. I'm very happy.
Good, good, good. It's been a great day today.
Yeah, it's been very nice. Very nice leading up to this nice evening. What about you, Keenan? How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm feeling very interconnected with the universe right now. Very interconnected. You know, everyone's blood is blue in a vein and everything like that. So,
well, that's a good thing.
Yes, that is a good thing, especially when you're healthy. So, yeah, I'm feeling the universe right now. I really
am. All right.
Feeling the groove, working it.
Yeah.
Working it. All circular. Up and down. Good thoughts.
Yes, up and down. Good thoughts.
I like that. You know, throughout our lives, I think we make choices. We make the choices to do what's right in our heart, right? Or we choose to not listen a lot of times. We can choose to act and see with our heart and to understand the concept of life, love, and what? The pursuit of happiness. You know, without understanding the human condition, what do? We miss out on all life has to offer. And I think we can all speak about that from here, is that sometimes when you don't experience love, when you're not actually focused on what's real, we do miss out on a lot of things. We miss out on what the reality of life really is. And I think that's important. I mean, I'm not saying in the beginning that you're going to love everything that comes your way in life, because I don't think that's true. You know, for the most part, we're going to realize why it came to us, but we're not always going to love it. We're not always going to love it, but you will become aware of your life, right? Your surroundings and the cyclical way of the inner workings within you and your challenges. I think the realization that we're all connected is part of the inner workings. And once we fully grasp that, and I remember fully grasping that at one point.
Yeah.
The beauty begins to unfold, because like a lot of times before that, it seems like you don't get it, or you don't get why things are coming into your life or why things are happening. And sometimes they're not really that great of things in our minds. And sometimes we don't understand what's happening here. Who's trying to sabotage me? What's happening in my life? But then when you start realizing, oh, this is all connected, there's a reason for everything. I just got to figure it out. And when you are understanding the connection, you figure it out a lot quicker than when you don't.
Well, you know, actually, there's an old saying, what doesn't kill me will make me better.
Make you stronger.
Yeah, make me stronger. Yeah.
So
I think the key is to be open to life's experiences, whether they be, you know, quote unquote positive or quote unquote negative, because even quote unquote negative experiences, you know, can teach you something, not just about life in general, but especially also about yourself.
I mean, everything is a learning experience. I mean,
yeah.
It's like our entire lives is just one big learning experience. And then finally, whenever we, you know, leave this earth, leave this planet, it's like we finally realize, oh, that's what it was about.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, for some people, it just takes a long time. But then again, some people figure it out, you know, sooner than others, you know, and that's why I really like having conversations with old people. Because the thing is, they have so much wisdom and, you know, it's just they have all this experience. And the thing is, they can tell you things that you can't learn in a book.
Well, elderly people, I think, are graduates of the schools of hard knocks.
Yeah, they are.
You know, I mean, just that sheer life experience.
You have to be over a period of time. I mean, if you're not getting wiser, then you're just an idiot. I mean, you got to be getting wiser, figuring it out. But you're right. It's like a whole lab. It's like you're in a science lab. All your life, you're in this, like, class. You're in a classroom. And it's like you don't really leave that classroom until you die. I mean, because if you stop learning, you're dead. I mean, in my theory about life.
I agree.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, because otherwise, if you stop learning, you just give up. I mean, you just given up. Or you just not paying attention. I don't think you can. I don't think you can actually stop learning. I think you're going to always internalize something or maybe subconsciously get something.
I think it's more subconscious because the thing is some people, I mean, we all know that one person or even two people that think they know everything. And you can't tell them jack. Can't tell them anything.
The know-it-alls.
The know-it-alls. Yes, they are. They are the know-it-alls. And you can't tell them anything. You can't even have a really good, straightforward conversation. Like, even try to, you know, learn anything from, well, you know, have this, you know, intellectual exchange. Because the thing is, they already know. They know it all because they think they do. And the thing is, though, whenever you're speaking to them, whenever you're engaging with them, they're listening to you. But the thing is, they're not listening to understand.
No.
They're listening to rebuttal.
Yeah, it's the type of people, you know.
They're not listening.
Exactly, they're not listening.
They have to prove that they're still the smartest kid in class.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Well, they've always been the smart ass. They've always been the smart ass. Yeah. They've always have been, and they always will be. And you know what? Most know-it-alls don't know much of anything.
Exactly. That's why I like to take the Socrates philosophy. I know that I'm wise because I know that I know nothing at all.
Perfect. See, I like that. And I think Socrates would also agree with this, that we all come from the same source, right? I think a lot of us understand that we all come from the same source. No matter what you think the source necessarily is, we all come from it. And I think that other people have different definitions of where we come from, what the source is, but that's fine. And being said, we're all linked, right? We're the collective unconscious or the conscious subconscious reveals that. And it exposes that over and over again, if you think about it, because why things happen. And it seems that, like, even, for example, creative ideas. Okay, because I know some of us have experienced this. Creative ideas seem to be almost stolen instead of the concept was thought up by others in the subconscious. Because I've actually written screenplays where at the same exact time, someone was actually writing that same script. When they both went out to LA and everything happened, their script got bought before mine. If you looked at both scripts written almost at the exact same time, it was almost like they must have stolen my idea. But you know what? It was there in the subconscious. And I think that's interesting because creative ideas seem stolen, but instead they're not. And understanding the interconnectivity and realizing the part of what that is of accepting others, you know, because they can be a part of us, is essential to the forward movement of our society and our planet. And I think when you realize that we're connected because of just the subconscious and the unconscious together, because all these ideas are flowing in there. There's nothing new. There's nothing new. We can't come up with anything new. It's all there. And if we choose to swirl in the pool of the collective unconscious and it gives us free access to drink from it, that's awesome. And if we understand that concept, we can understand the concept that by accepting others and understanding we're all linked together is really the only way we can really think.
You just have to be open to you know, what the universe is trying to tell you.
Well, yeah, it's like you look at some people look at like a Japanese woman and go, she's Japanese. I'm white. We're not connected. Or I'm black and we're not the same because they look different. And I think that's kind of the biggest joke on society is that the funniest human condition is the fact that we actually think people are different.
Yeah, but the thing is, though, we all have quite a few things in common. Like, for instance, eating. We all eat, right? We all eat.
Yep.
And for example, chicken. Everyone likes chicken. It's just that some cultures cook that chicken a different way.
Sure. Or put different sauces on it or, you know, whatever.
But when it's all said and done, it's still chicken.
Yeah.
We all sleep.
Yeah, we all sleep.
We hope that everybody reads.
Especially if you're the Chick-fil-A cows, you know, then, you know, you appreciate people eating those chickens, but in however way they're doing it, right?
If I was an animal, I would appreciate the vegans.
Yeah, exactly.
The vegans got it going on. If I was an animal, I'd be like, vegan, vegan, vegan.
If I was an animal, I would probably be a cheetah. That's my favorite animal, cheetahs.
So you couldn't get caught. You'd be running so fast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. I was like, I don't know. It's like I just have something in common with cheetahs. It's like, you know, they're kind of like,
look like a cheetah.
Yeah, exactly. They're lean and, you know, they're lean, some of them muscular, and they're fast, just like me.
And you got spots.
Yeah, I have not. What's that? I don't have any freckles.
I think I see a freckle right there.
I was going to say, I think I saw one.
That's
right
a scar from a chicken pox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it might have been from Iraq.
It counts.
You know, I think this is very interesting because when we start realizing that everybody's connected, and I think some people listening tonight will probably be like, you know, I feel that way. I think that way. And then I think there's some people out there that think, you know what? I was raised a certain way and I'm trying to make some changes in my life. I'm trying to understand and embrace the human condition. I'm trying to understand the fact that there's some things I don't understand or some things that I haven't really connected with. But all in all these things come from the same. I mean, it doesn't make it right or wrong. You know, it doesn't make it right or wrong what you believe in. It doesn't make it right or wrong sexual orientation. It doesn't make it right or wrong, you know, what color you are. And I think that a lot of times when we're brought up, we have these thought processes in our head based upon, you know, maybe upbringing or just stereotypes. And I think that's going to be very interesting to talk about tonight. So when we return, Don Geiser, philanthropist and Dallas local legend, joins Perspectives to discuss his role in the Black Tie Dinner. You know, the event, who helps, and why it draws such an amazing crowd year after year. You know, we're also going to continue our discussion on interconnectivity, which I think is essential, the acceptance of others, and forward thinking that will benefit us all. So guess what? Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, you know, we'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's Perspectives, we're exploring interconnectivity, the acceptance of others, forward thinking, and the upcoming Black Tie Dinner. Joining Perspectives tonight to discuss his role in the Black Tie Dinner, the event, who the event benefits, and why it draws such an amazing crowd year after year, is philanthropist and Dallas legend Don Geiser. Good evening, Don. We're delighted to have you on Perspectives.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
We are glad to have you. You make this whole place look good. This is great. We feel great about having you here because we want to know more about the Black Tie Dinner. What is the Black Tie Dinner?
Well, in a nutshell, it's a nonprofit 501c3 organization that actually raises funds for the for LGBT supportive organizations here in North Texas through an annual premier fundraising event.
So how long? Okay, so I know that this event is near and dear to your heart. How long have you been involved in the Black Tie Dinner?
I actually went to my first Black Tie Dinner in 1987. I did not even live in Dallas at the time. I lived in Tyler. For some reason, I got an invitation, got on their mailing list for one reason or another, and kind of went out of curiosity and just was immediately hooked. And I moved to Dallas about a year later, and I've only missed once. No, actually, I've missed twice in like 25 years. So it's
shame on you since 87. I mean, you have a good track there. I mean, twice. I mean, you know, twice. Yeah. I mean, life happens. You know, you could have had the chicken pox or, you know, you could have.
The chicken pox.
I had to use that from you. Yeah.
And to give you just a little background about it, Black Tie Dinner actually started in 1982. Of course, I did not attend there. I didn't even know anything about the organization then. But anyway, it started in 1982. There probably were 100 or so people at that dinner. It actually raised $6,000 that evening. It benefited one local organization, one local beneficiary. And today it's like evolved to an event that draws like over 3,000 people each year and usually raises at least a minimum of $1 million each year and benefits up to 20 local beneficiaries.
That's a big difference. That's huge. That's what you talk about moving. And it's like we talk a lot about that on the show, about how you have to build up. You're building up to something. You're building up to this greatness, you know? So why are you so dedicated? Because, I mean, since 1980s, you've been around forever, you know, with this organization. Why are you so dedicated to it?
To me, Black Tie Dinner is a very inclusive event. It draws from all facets of the community, and it's not just a gay fundraising event. And we have some support all over the community from straight allies, including a lot of corporate sponsors such as American Airlines, AT&T, PepsiCo, Neiman Marcus, Wells Fargo, Compass Bank, Merrill Lynch, Aetna, and so forth. So it draws from all facets of the community, and I really think it really celebrates equality and mankind, because as we were talking about earlier, we are all basically the same.
Yeah, we're all connected. I agree with you. And I think a lot of times people don't feel like they can be themselves. And that's a sad state of affairs, because in life, all you want to do is be happy. You want to be loved. And I think if we really realize the basis of life and we realize that people just want to be loved, that's it. It's really not that big of a deal. And I think once we get over that and understand that also with this event, this is for everybody. This is a peaceful organization for everybody. You know, so, you know, I know what we talked about just a second ago, but what is it internally in your heart? What does this event mean to you?
Well, basically, this is just an evening of empowerment, education, and entertainment in partnership with community. And when you go to this event, you just leave there feeling very good about yourself and about mankind in general. Because we have speakers from, you know, all facets of life that have been there in the past. We've had speakers such as Martin Sheen, Sharon Gless. Last year, Dustin Lance Black was actually there. Sharon Stone has been there before. So we have all different facets of speakers and award nominations that are given out each year and so forth. So it's really a very empowering, uplifting evening.
I'm looking forward to going. I'll be actually sitting at Don's table this year, so I'm very stoked about it. And I know you're kind of a big deal to this, you know, and I know that's a funny thing to say, kind of a big deal, but you are. I mean, one is a couple years back, how many tables? I know that you're a table chair, right? The chairman of the tables. How many did you sell about a few years back?
I'm one of the sponsors of the dinner, but I'm also one of the table captains. For the dinner. And although they really call me a table whore, and most people that are table captains, you can have up to four tables, but most people have just one or two. The most tables I've ever had was 17. This year, though, they asked me to kind of step up my game, so I committed to fill 20 tables.
20 tables. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
For one person.
A lot of table whoring.
Because, yeah, daddy needs his $1 million, you know, right?
Oh. Right.
So, how many people at a table?
There are 10 people at a table.
Okay.
That's pretty cool.
So that's 200 people then. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
Later on, I know we're going to play that clip from Dale Hansen recently spoke out about the whole situation, about how we're all kind of equal. And I'm trying to think, what was the name of the player?
Michael Sam.
Michael Sam.
Yeah, Michael Sam. He actually spoke out in agreement with Michael Sam. And we're going to play that at the beginning of the next segment. But I know that he's also going to be speaking, right, at the event?
He is. He's one of the honorees at the dinner. And again, this kind of goes back to what we're talking about, our interconnectivity and interrelationships and so forth. Obviously, he's one of our straight allies. Back in February, when Michael Sam announced that he was gay and then ended up being the first openly gay player drafted into the NFL, Dale Hansen was totally supportive of him on air, on TV, even appeared on The Ellen Show and was 110% behind him. So we just thought it was just only fitting, or Black Tie thought it was only fitting, that he'd be invited to come, especially since he's a local person, to actually be at the dinner. And when we asked him, he said, well, you know, do I look like a person that would turn down a free meal? So he said,
no,
of course.
Dale does not look like the type of person that will turn down a free meal.
So he said, I'd be honored to be there. So we're very thrilled to have him this year.
That's pretty cool. I like Dale Hansen. I think he's a good guy. He's a good guy. And I look forward to hearing him speak as well. So let's get a little information. So where would they go? Where would people go that's listening to the show? Where would our listeners go to find tickets for the event?
There is Black Tie has its own website. It's www.blacktiedinner.org. And you can get all kinds of information about the history of the dinner, getting tickets, so forth there. Who the beneficiaries are this year. You can sign up to be a table captain if you wanted to actually kind of step up your game and actually host your own table. It has a wealth of information on that website.
Also, I think later on, you know, after the show airs, I'm going to have some information on the website as well, you know, AshleyBurgess.com, about some other information about how you can really get connected in, how you can also connect with Dawn as well, because I think that makes the experience that much cooler. Because, you know, I think it's all about life. It's always enjoying the process and being a part of things. And I think that being a part of awareness is so cool. I mean, it's just so amazing to have a light being turned on. And I know some people listening right now might argue, but I think if you really look into your heart of hearts and you realize that people really aren't that different, you don't have to agree with it, but it's just about the fact that people live their life and they're happy and they're allowed to be happy. And I think that that's really, really important. So I want to ask one question of you that I think is really kind of neat. How do you feel that the Black Tie Dinner really expresses and upholds interconnectivity?
It encourages people from all walks of life to be there, straight and gay. And we even have it's called a John Thomas Scholarship Program set up, where people can actually donate money to that program who really might not be able to afford the price of a ticket. And they can they actually award scholarships to these people, so to speak.
Oh, nice.
And they get to go to the dinner for free. And it's all funded through the scholarship fund. And usually every year at my tables, I have a few people that are recipients of this John Thomas Scholarship. And they're thrilled to be there, and we're more than happy to have them. So it's a very inclusive event. It's not an exclusive event at all. Everyone is welcome, straight, gay, bisexual.
I think that's really interesting, Dawn, because, I mean, honestly, it's a very interesting event, and I think that there's so many things out there that some people never get to experience. And I think this is one of those experiences that if you get a chance, it's well worth it. It's for a good cause as well. So when we return, we're going to be talking more about the Black Tie event. We're going to be talking a little bit more about Dale Hansen's identification with it and his presence, as well as talking about more about interconnectivity and how this really helps, you know, to figure out life and how to be just connected to the other people in the world. It's just a big deal, and it's all connected. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in, you know, we'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 570 KLIF.
Feel comfortable laying claim to both sides of that argument. I'm not always comfortable when a man tells me he's gay. I don't understand his world, but I do understand that he's part of mine. Civil rights activist Audre Lorde said, "It is not our differences that divide us. It is our inability to recognize, accept, and celebrate those differences. We've always been able to recognize them. Some of us accept them. And I want to believe that there will be a day when we do celebrate them. I don't know if that day's here yet. I guess we're about to find out. But when I listen to Michael Sam, I do think it's time to celebrate him now."
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And what you just heard was Dale Hansen, sportscaster on ABC's affiliate WFAA. He has Dale Hansen's sports special, and he will also be attending the Black Tie Dinner this year. If you're just joining us, we've been continuing our exploration into interconnectivity, the acceptance of others, forward thinking, and the upcoming Black Tie Dinner. Dawn Geiser, philanthropist and huge supporter of the Black Tie Dinner, is here tonight talking with us about the event. And right before the break, Dawn was telling us about how Dale Hansen's appearance will be there because of his outpouring of acceptance for the lesbian and gay community. So he'll be there.
Correct.
So that'll be kind of interesting. Are they going to give him any sort of award or no? He's just going to speak a little bit.
I don't think he's going to get an award as such, but he is going to be on the program, and he's going to say a few words of encouragement to everybody and just show his support.
That's pretty cool. So let's talk. Okay, so you're going to be on the hot seat now, Dawn. Okay, so let's talk about this. Let's talk about interconnectivity, because I know what it means to me. What does it mean to you?
Interconnectivity, I think, just means realizing that we're all human beings, and we all have the same really needs, wants, and desires, and we're really equal.
So true.
We're social creatures. We interact with each other, and we interact with our environment. We interact with the universe, and really what happens to one person in some way, shape, or form affects all of us, don't you think?
I think so. And I think the coolest thing about it is you might not be something, or it might not be part of you. I mean, like in this body at this time, but I think it's really neat to accept other people because it's almost like experiencing those things as well. It doesn't happen to be with you, but it's, you know, it's kind of a connectivity thing where you can actually see and understand and be able to, you know, oh, okay, this is kind of neat. It's not me, or maybe it is me, or maybe you understand a little bit more about yourself.
You know, Kenan, it's kind of like the butterfly effect, don't you think?
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, yeah. I also liken it to the song, Dirt Road Anthem, country singer, Jason Aldean.
Yes,
Jason
yes.
Aldean, right? Okay, check it out, check it out. There's a remix with that song, right? With Ludacris, right? Think about it. Country, you know, Western music sing, you know, singer, and you have this rapper.
Ludacris.
But, yeah, Ludacris. But the thing is, they come together and they do this song, and when you listen to each verse, they're both talking about the same thing.
There you go.
Yet from two different cultural perspectives.
Right.
But it's still the same thing, interconnectivity.
Yep.
Speaking of country western music, isn't there going to be a country western music singer actually at the Black Tie Dinner this year?
Yes, that's correct. We're really excited to have on our entertainment lineup for the evening Steve Grand, who last year came out with a record called All American Boy, and it was on the in the top 10 Billboard chart. And he is an openly gay country western singer, but he said he's had very positive feedback from the country and western community and has been very well accepted. And he will actually be there and be performing that night at the dinner.
Sounds great.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I do think a lot of times religions do the same thing, like you were talking about earlier, Ludacris and this country western singer.
Jason Aldean.
Is that a lot of times religions do that too, is that a lot of people will say, oh, well, this is what this says, or this is what this says, or this is what this doctrine says. But most of the time, it's just the same thing being said in just a little bit different of a way. You know, I mean, it's just different words we use, or maybe we have more, you know, power to one word, or we add another comma, or we kind of change up things. But really, all in all, it's kind of the same, and it's all about love. It's all about understanding. It's all about realizing that all we are love. We can't be any other emotion. And honestly, we realize that everybody wants to be love. And I mean, there is happiness and we can be happy. And I think that's part of it. You know, I want to ask Don, as a child, did you really know that you'd be donating like so much of your time and talent to philanthropic activities like this?
That's a good question. Yes and no. However, I really will have to admit, yes. I'm an only child, and my mother and father were both very philanthropic individuals. And my mother always kind of instilled in me to give back to the community. And one thing that I'll never forget that she taught me, and I'll take this with me to my grave. My mother was a very self-confident, very self-independent person. And she said, look, you may have had some advantages that other people have not had, but that doesn't make you any better than anyone else. But yet, on the other hand, no one is any better than you. And I will always
words of wisdom.
Admire that. Yes,
yeah,
it really was words of wisdom.
And, you know, being a parent is difficult. I mean, a lot of people's parents were only 20 years older than when they had the child, you know, and for a parent to say that, that's pretty remarkable. And those are amazing words to live by.
Yeah, I know my grandmother, she used to say the same thing to me back when I was growing up, and so did my grandfather, and also, of course, Big Mama. You know, every black household has a Big Mama,
right?
Which is your great-grandmother or your grandmother, but in my household, it was my great-grandmother, and she would say to me, you know, you ain't no better than anybody else, but I think you need to be good to other people now. Be good to other people.
Yeah.
If you ain't good to other people, then some bad stuff gonna happen to you, because you know they gonna come down on you.
Now here's
that's what she would say. You know.
Now here's
the
a
whole
West
karma restitution.
Exactly.
Thing.
Like
now here's a West Texas saying, because you know, Don, you're from East Texas. I'm from West Texas. Okay.
Right.
So you know what my granny used to say to me. You know, you put your pants on one leg at a time, same as I do. That's pure West Texas, right?
Granny
there,
but wears pants.
Well,
no skirts?
Sometimes she does.
I don't know. I was just asking. Because with a skirt, put a skirt on two legs at a time.
When she's working in the garden, she'll wear pants.
Oh, okay.
So her skirt, her dress doesn't fly up. Because remember, West Texas, windy.
See, my dad used to use that same analogy. And what I would do is I'd just sit on my bed and I'd put my pants in both legs at a time. I'd be like, well, I guess I beat you. I've got two legs at a time here. Just doing it freestyle here. And he was like, that's not funny. That's really not. I was like, it's really quite humorous, actually, because two legs at a time.
And then you don't remember anything after that. No, I'm kidding.
Bam. Yeah, get the switch.
Yeah, get the switch.
So what role? Okay, so I think openness is a big deal. I think honesty is a big deal. Don, what role does honesty and openness play in your life and the world you live in?
Well, I try to pretty much be an open book and be approachable. And make people realize that I really try to have very few, if any, prejudices and stereotypes that's going to inhibit me interacting with anyone or any organization. Going back to kind of what my mother taught me as a child, and again, this is not to brag or anything, but I've actually had dinner with Queen Elizabeth all the way to homeless people. And I enjoyed both experiences just as much as the other.
That's a Dusty Rhodes thing there.
I love it. It's great.
I mean, I have dined with kings and queens, and I have lived in cardboard boxes and ate pork and beans.
Well, it's like I have friends that have like not even $5, and I have friends that have $5 million, yeah. And it's like or whatever exponentially you want to put on that, but it is true, and I think that. Financially, that doesn't make the person, and it's just the energy, and it's just the time, and it's so cool that you've had this full spectrum of life experiences that I think when people allow themselves to have these experiences, they get them, and I think it's interesting how some people will look at you and go, wow, you just had so many experiences. You've had like 10 lives in one, and you're thinking to them, you know what? You could have that same – you could have all these experiences as well. You just got to put yourself out there, and I think that might be one of the things that really sets this dinner off by itself too, because it's so different, and it's something that most of y'all haven't attended. It's something you haven't experienced, and I think if you want to say there's a bucket list out there, this is one of the things that you should attend, because you might meet some really cool people out of this, or at least you experience it. I think a lot of times people don't experience because they're scared. Oh God, am I gonna fit in? Am I gonna like people? Are they gonna like me? Do I have the right thing to wear? Okay, is this where I really want to be at? But it's like, just get into it, because you can actually have those 10 lives in one if you try.
Yeah, we've discussed this on other shows. Fear of the unknown is the greatest fear known to humankind. But when new experiences come, be open to what that can do for you and how you can grow from that.
Most definitely. And I think those new experiences are very awesome. I think those are the things that you just make your life so cool. So again, if you want to go to this dinner, which I will be attending, which I will be sitting next to Don, I'm very stoked about this. This is my first time to attend myself, so I'm really, really happy about this. If you want to go to that dinner, what is it? BlackDyeDinner.org.
Yes, ma'am.
And then I'll also have some extra information on the website after the show airs that you can actually find and personally talk to Don as well and get the full experience, because I think sometimes it's just so great to at least have a name with a face and know, hey, I know some people that are going to be there. So if you're going solo and you want to hang out or you want to get a group together, make this fun. This is a very fun party atmosphere with good feelings and good vibes. It's like going to a great movie, feeling good about being there, being a part of it, and going home and saying, hey, this is something I'll remember for the rest of my life. And you might come back another year too.
All my tables too are kind of already pre-reserved, and they're all in one section. So we have kind of our own big happy family there. So
perfect.
Anybody and everybody is welcome. And going back to my mother, I don't mean to make this about my mother, but
about your mother, Don.
She went to Black Tie Dinner for the first time when she was 75 years old and absolutely loved it and went back year after year and finally got to the point, she knew as many people there as I did, and she just held court.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, okay.
So any age, you're going to have fun at this.
Oh, yeah.
And see, that's what's so cool about this. That's what's so cool about that. And then we're going to have this party area, be as loud as we want, have as much fun, get to know a bunch of people you've never met before. So stay tuned. When we return, I will give you the fundamental life tips to embracing the differences we see in others, as well as offering you that key advice on being able to see the world as a beautiful place. You know what? Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. You know what? We'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up. I can
show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, if you're just tuning in, and I hope you're not, we've been exploring interconnectivity, the acceptance of others, the forward thinking, and we were talking about the Black Tie Dinner that's upcoming here later on this year. I think that's a very interesting event that's also going to bring greater awareness of interconnectivity, the acceptance of people and forward thinking. So now I want to offer you the fundamental life tips to embracing the differences we see in others, as well as offering key advice on being able to see the world as a beautiful place. You know, how do we begin to embrace the difference we see in others and know or exist within others as well? And I think by realizing we aren't that different. I think when we realize that we're not that different, you may say, hey, I'm not gay, or I'm not fill in the blank. So fill in the blank with whatever, I'm not. And that's true, but the commonality in the middle still exists if you think about it. Realizing everyone wants to be loved and that everyone has the capacity to be loved. You know, when I mean be loved, I mean you have the ability to actually be loved, acting through love, seeing the big picture and realizing that love is all we truly, really have if you think about it. You know, when we get angry and say, I'm angry, when we get mad and say, I'm mad, you're saying you are that specific emotion, but you have to think about it. The emotion is not you. The only emotion that feels right, that can be you, that can be defined as yourself is love. I am love. I am love. That feels right. It doesn't feel right to say, I am mad. I am angry. And you know, if you are love, and we are not frightened by what we don't understand, because a lot of times when we understand that we're love, you can't be frightened from what you don't understand or what is not connected directly to you. You aren't scared by what someone else is, and we allow others to find their purpose, right? Their purpose, their true calling, without the need to say that they're wrong. You know, I think it's interesting, like Dale Hansen said, he might not understand, but he accepts. And I think that's key. And I think being yourself in this world is challenging enough, you know, if it's not impossible to some people. However, it doesn't have to be challenging for you. You know, when we allow others to live their own lives, our lives get what? That much sweeter, that much richer. The mere acceptance of others betters your life tenfold. And you know, why is that? That's because when you accept other people, guess what? They accept you. I mean, we all have things that other people might look at and be like, wow, huh? Don't know about that. But you know, when you're in acceptance and you're like, hey, I'm me and I'm happy to be me. I'm Ashley Burgess and I have some great things going on here and I'm happy about it and I accept everybody else's stuff. Guess what? It's perfect because nobody's going to come after you. Nobody's going to argue with you. Like your grandma said, Keenan, I mean, the whole thing is you got to treat people with respect or they're going to come down on you. And I think also the other side of the coin is just being love and understanding that other people will experience a different life than you, but that's okay. I mean, it's just not your, it's not your destiny. It's not your purpose. It's not your path.
You know, Ashley, there's a universal human concept that many cultures, many religions across time have expressed in one way or another. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Okay.
The 11th commandment.
You know, the 11th commandment, you know, yeah. The golden rule. And, but, you know, Confucius in China, 500 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, said almost the same thing. And so, you know, if you, you know, express love to others, they're going to give it back to you. If you express hate to others, that's what you're going to get.
Well, the thing is, I mean, we all mirror each other subconsciously because the thing is, our species, our, you know, people in general, we pretty much give whatever we are receiving,
yeah.
whatever comes to us.
That's right.
You know, I think I said on a previous show once, you know, if you approach someone with hostility, then guess what you're going to receive back? Hostility.
That's right.
You know, if you approach someone with kindness, you're going to receive kindness back. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just the way it goes. I guess that's the way the universe operates. You know what I mean? Like, who was it? Sir Isaac Newton, you know, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. I think that's the third law of motion.
The third law. Yeah. Third law of motion.
And that's so true. Yeah. And that's always the way it is. And a lot of times we try to make it hard. We try to make it difficult. We try to say, oh, well, you know, we really can't figure it out. And I have no idea why this happened. But like we talked about last week about like snap decisions.
Yeah.
That snap, you know, decision that you make before you walk into a situation, if your first decision is this is going to be awful, these people are not going to like me, they're going to judge me, you're going to walk in, those people might not be judging you at all, but they're going to look funny to you because you're already looking at them, you're sizing them up, something's wrong. And you know, they're going to think you look crazy because you're acting all weird. But if you walk in, you go, I'm happy, I'm confident, this is good, you walk in and all of a sudden the whole your whole demeanor's different, because the way we think comes out in the way we look, and it comes out in the way we present ourselves in our actions. Do we stand a certain way? Do we stand like off to the side? Do we stand with our arms in front of us where we're like almost like defending ourselves? Do we have, you know, are we comfortable in our own skin? And I think that's so important, because I don't really care what anybody does, to be quite honest with you. As long as you're not hurting somebody, I'm just going to go on and say it right now. I think that everybody should be able to get married. I really do. I think that the whole world, if you want to marry somebody and it happens to be the same sex, I don't see why you can't. And the reason why I think that is because if I have to get married and I have to live by the laws and everything that I have to live by, then they should too, be quite honest with you. Because you know what? I know the divorce lawyers need to really start thinking about this in life and realizing you could have a whole nother set of potential clients based on the fact that you allow gay marriage. If you allow gay marriage, you have a whole nother demographic of people you can make a lot of money from. So think about it that way, because there is money to be made, because not everybody's going to stay in this marriage. And guess what? If I have to stay in the marriage and I got to do it, darn right they need to get married. No union stuff. There needs to be marriage. There needs to be a call to action.
That's actually appealing to people's base instincts. Make money off of them.
Well, I mean, but, that's hilarious. Why would they not be allowed to get married?
Everyone has the right to be miserable for the rest of their lives.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm selling, is miserable. I'm selling it. You can have it if you want it. But, you know, there's some people that are married that love it too. But, I mean, I think if you want to experience that, you should be able to experience it. It's not hurting me. I mean, it could be helping other people financially in the future. But, you know, for the most part, we hope for the best for everybody's marriage. But I mean, it is 50%, you know, that's marriage, true. Right? And so that's, it's all true. Good. So I mean, I think when we look at life, sometimes we got to look at it in the fact that if you put yourself in there, so what is it, Immanuel Kant, veil of ignorance principle, if you put yourself in that situation, would you, you know, if you didn't know where you're going to be the next day, would you make laws and rules regulating certain situations? No, because those rules and regulations might actually impede on your life. And that's what's so crazy and so shocking. And that's the thing that I think that everybody needs to come together and realize, that this is almost like a race thing too. I mean, like, you know, being racist. I mean, that's just so old. It's like, this is the same type of thing, but it just doesn't happen to do with color. It's like, let's get over it. It's getting old. You know, it's getting old. Let's go on. And
there's more important things to expend your energy on.
Yeah. And I think it's great when you start realizing other people are just different, and it's kind of cool, because you don't want everybody to be the same. You know how boring this world would be if everybody was just a cookie cutter of Keenan. Everybody's a cookie cutter of Ashley. Everybody's a cookie cutter of Bill. Everybody's a cookie cutter of Don. And there was only four ways of being it. And you only had four options in this world. And so everybody you met was one of these options. And that's it. And you'd be like, oh my God, I'm going to kill myself. You know, I'm going to take myself out to the barn and just throw myself over that cliff and be done with it. You know, but, you know, God bless you, don't do that. But, you know, it would be a boring thing. And it's good to meet people with differences. So let's move on to the key advice for seeing the world as a beautiful place. Right?
Can I do my drum roll?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Keenan, help me out here. Drum roll, okay?
God bless, that was a good one. You know, when we define something or as something, no matter what we define it as, we see it that way, right? So when we define something as something, no matter what it is, we see it that way. So once defined, right, it is difficult within our own minds to change that definition. So beginning tonight, begin to see the world as a beautiful place. Put away all your preconceived ideas and notions and allow the beauty to be what it truly is. Think about it. What you believe is what you see. If you see the world as an awful, scary place, right? The world is an awful and scary place, and no one can change that image but you. And I think that's interesting, because you hear people all the time talk about how awful the world is and how, oh my God, and oh, the disease and the famine. And yes, there is some things happening in this world, but it's not everything. And some people wrap their brain around this negative concoction, and the world can never be pretty then.
Well, maybe because they have an enlarged medulla oblongata. You know, the fear part of the brain. Like scientists say that, you know, if, like, there are some people, you know, that part of their brain is like enlarged.
Some people just enlarge it by watching CNN 24 hours a day. It's like actually pumping iron every day on that fear factor. Pump the iron. Make it big.
Do you have a medulla oblongata?
I have one, but mine's tiny.
Everyone has one, isn't it? Everyone has one, you know. But you know, some people's are bigger than others.
I took mine out on my own earlier today with a little Swiss Army knife.
Is that scar on the back of your neck?
Okay, yeah, gotcha.
Mine's pretty small.
I used some Bactine. You know, I cleaned it up.
I live in a bad neighborhood anyway, so mine's pretty small.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. otherwise you'd be hiding under your covers. Yeah,
your air conditioner was stolen just the other day, so you got it going on. You know what's happening. Yeah. God bless. Yeah, we got to talk about that after the show. You know, I think Albert Einstein and Carl Wilhelm, I think he states this brilliantly. I think the most important question facing humanity is the universe a friendly place? This is the first and most basic question all people must answer for themselves. And I think this is interesting. So if we decide that the universe is an unfriendly place, then we will use our technology, our scientific discoveries, and our natural resources to achieve safety and power by creating bigger walls to keep out the unfriendliness and bigger weapons to destroy all that which is unfriendly. And I believe that we are getting to a place where technology is powerful enough that we may either completely isolate or destroy ourselves as well in the process. However, if we decide that the universe is neither friendly nor unfriendly, and that God is essentially playing dice with the universe, then we are simply victims to the random toss of the dice, and our lives have no real purpose or meaning. But if we decide that the universe is a friendly place, then we will use our technology, our scientific discoveries, and our natural resources to create tools and models for understanding that universe, because power and safety will come through understanding its workings and its motives. God does not play dice with the universe. I think that is intrinsically essential to realizing and understand and how to live by. I mean, once you realize you have the power to choose for yourself, that the other shoe isn't going to fall, that God isn't playing favorites, and that you can create a friendly world, then all goodness will come to you, because you can ultimately bring the goodness to you, because that's essentially what it is. So come this November, I will be seated at Don Geiser's table at the Black Tie Dinner. I look forward to seeing listeners and getting to know some of y'all that I haven't met. For more information on the Black Tie Dinner, go to blacktie.org. Also, you'll be able to get some more information on the website after this airs on this weekend. So this is a beautiful, beautiful night here on Sunday.
Yep.
After that airs, we'll be having on some information on the website. For more information also on some of the iTunes podcasts, go check out the iTunes podcast perspectives. Also, go to ashleyburgess.com. Get some information and, get some extra perspective. Stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 3 shakes.